Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and welcome to the Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside the episode titled Conor McGregor, Embracing Your Dark Side.
Going in.
This is a great episode. I love kind of talking about this stuff because it does bring in the sports element. I know it does. You've made that very, very clear, especially in the conversation. But let's start first of all about how you came to sort of study Conor as a subject of someone who, you know, does things and goes about his business a certain way. Where did he first pop into your awareness and why Conor, I guess? We'll start there.
So I didn't know anything about him. And then several years ago, my daughter Erin and her boyfriend at the time were really into him. And they told me about him. And they're like, oh, you need to check this guy out or whatever. So I started just, you know, looking to see. And I was very impressed with who the guy was. Like, I'm a big fan. Like, I'm not a big sports fan. You know that, right? I hate watching sports on television. I do enjoy going to a game, all different kinds of games. I shouldn't say that I don't like sports. I do like sports. I'm just not one of those guys where sports takes up my whole life. Like, I'm not a Sunday afternoon football guy. I like to watch the Super Bowl. I like to watch the Stanley Cup. I like to watch the World Cup and hockey. I like to watch the final games. I like to see that stuff. I love the competition. I played a lot of sports when I was a kid. I played football. I played hockey. I played, I was wrestling. I went down to state in wrestling when I was a kid. So I played softball. I played to clinch a big 16-inch clincher in Chicago. Like, I loved playing the sports. I just never liked watching them. It just wasn't my thing. So when I heard about Conor and they were telling me why I would like him, I liked him because he was somebody who was above average. Like, and I'm always impressed with above average people. I study them like a book. I want to know everything they're doing. What's their psychology? Why are they doing this? Who are they as a person? Where do they come from? I mean, you know me. I just shred it apart. I want to know all the intricate workings of it. And I saw him doing something in UFC that hadn't been done yet. Like, he became the Muhammad Ali of UFC, and there was no personality like that before him. Or not quite to that extent. Anyway, there were a couple of guys earlier not really to that extent. And on top of it, he had the chops to back it up, right? He was badass in the ring. And so when I saw that and I saw his flamboyant personality, I knew that the guy had a good marketing savvy. Like, he was a promoter, you know. He not only could he fight, but he could talk, as they say in the industry.
Yeah, which definitely helps you in that game for sure.
It totally does. Well, I mean, not only does it allow him to get the psychological advantage on his opponent, which I want to talk to you about, but it also allows him to be an amazing promoter of his other stuff, which, like, he does. Like, in the ring, he was promoting Proper 12, his whiskey, you know. And I know that some people get really pissed off by that, but you have to understand, he's a businessman. He's not going to fit into the box that you want to put him in. And I admire that about any person, that they're willing to build a box that they like for them, and they're going to go after life and all the juice of life. I like what the guy stands for. I like that he's a passionate Irishman, that he's all about his country and giving people a door out of oppression. You know, I mean, Ireland's gone through some bad times, you know, over the years, and to have a champion for them, I think, is a fantastic thing.
He's come a long way for sure from you know, the streets of West Dublin where he was from. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, Conor McGregor wasn't always my cup of tea until you kind of started talking a little bit about who he was as a person. And I didn't really know much about him. And in full transparency, and leading up to this episode, I did watch the documentary from Netflix that came out in 2017, Notorious. And it was really interesting to see. It doesn't talk a lot about his early life, but you could tell that he was shaped early on by this idea that he wanted something bigger for himself. So he was really all about, I'm just going to work. I'm going to work hard, and no one's going to deny me this. And he's really big in visualization. He's really big in mindset, and he does talk a very good game. And I think that's what oftentimes would be triggering for me, because with that bravado and with that, you know, like, ego that these guys have to lead with. It's very counterintuitive to how I live my life because I see a part of myself. I want that, but I don't have the balls to go out and get it. He does that. And that's that story, like his story that's still being written right now, is one of tenacity. It's one of I'm going to outwork you and I may lose, but I'm going to come back even bigger and badder the next time. And he's proven that in his career. And I think it's really impressive to see. And I can hear people out there having this conversation, right? Why is David talking about Conor McGregor? Why is David talking about, you know, this person's dark side? It's not that interesting of a story. Similar to like when we talked about Tiger Woods on this show and we had all this feedback about why are you talking about this adulterer? Here's the deal. This is what I know. You can learn from every single person you come into contact with. It doesn't matter if you can't watch an MMA fight. You don't have to. You can actually look at the man and see what he's doing to realize that he's different and cut from a different cloth. It can be a little queasy at times to watch these fights, but it is very gladiatorial. It's very primal. It's very carnal. And the fact that this guy has done it across multiple weight classes and has done it for as long as he has done it. I mean, he's only 31. It's kind of funny to say he's done it as long as he's done it.
But to
see how far in that battlefield, it's really quite impressive. And I get excited too when you share these things with us because it shows you there's a human element involved in that we can learn from every single person we come in contact with. Yeah, it's super cool. Well, getting back to this, you know, this recent fight that you watched against Donald Cowboy Cerrone, it's crazy to think that, you know, Conor was scheduled to make like something like $5 million flat fee just for the fight.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. So he got basically $125,000 a second because it lasted 40 seconds, this fight. But he also got the pay-per-view cut, which I think is really great. He got like something like 80 or 90% of the pay-per-view cut, which could bring him up to something like $80 million for that 40 seconds of work.
That I didn't know.
But the reality of it is this, that dude works. Like watching that documentary, I cannot believe how much time, effort, and energy just goes into making weight, first and foremost. And, you know, in order to simulate this type of combat, you have to hit people and they have to hit you. There was this one scene in that documentary where he's basically laying in the octagon and one of his guys is just pummeling him with his fist on his sternum and on his stomach.
Right.
And I'm thinking, no way in hell. Like, no way in hell would I be willing to do that. But you don't think about that when you see this guy talking about his whiskey or talking about this or talking about that and being a la Muhammad Ali, right? But the reality is all of these athletes on every level, even the college athletes, high school athletes, they put in the work and that's what separates those from the do from those who don't.
Tell everybody just for a second what the name of the movie is so that they can watch it.
Yeah, so definitely go check this out. It's on Netflix streaming right now. It's called Conor McGregor, Notorious.
And it's from 2017,
from 2017. Yeah. So it basically goes through his early rise, his rise into UFC, his fights that were legendary against Nate Diaz, and then all the way up until I believe he's talking about getting ready to fight Floyd Mayweather as a boxer. So not only does he transcend UFC, but he also goes into the boxing arena and fights probably what's considered to be one of the most pound-for-pound best fighters in the world is Floyd Mayweather. So it's really cool to see his transformation. And like I said before, I was not necessarily a fan. It's not like I didn't like him. It's just that I wasn't too keen on it. Because like we talked about before, when you said, hey, we need to go to one of these UFC fights out in Vegas. And immediately my stomach started to hurt and I was getting very, very stressed out because there's so much testosterone at those things. And it's like, I avoid conflict like none other. So it's really quite crazy. But, you know, one of the things you talked about was like how much of this is publicity.
And yeah,
how
tell much, me about that. What do you know well, about that?
So here's the thing. No one really knows for sure, but I can tell you this. These guys are on a razor's edge when it comes to finding and getting inside of people's heads, right?
Yep.
So, you know, and they're all about family and they're all about team. So, you know, the situation where you were talking about where McGregor threw some stuff through a bus window, that was because that was a fight, I believe, with one of his guys in his training group was fighting this other guy. And Conor took offense to something that was going on and he wasn't even involved in the fight, but he was going to, you know, do something. I think that's just pure well, rage is involved there, but I think more of anything, it's just him sticking up for his guys. Like you said, he's all about team. He's all about family. He's all about country. Yeah. So if you step in the way of any of that, there's going to be a battle. And what's interesting is if you ever watch some of these press conferences, I mean, they bring those press conferences together knowing that something is going to happen. One guy is going to take a swipe at another guy. They're going to say something because all it does is it fuels the pay-per-view buys and people are going to do it. Now, Dana White and his partners are smart people. They know what sells and they're going to put these guys together in front of one another right. with their shirts off. They're going to do the weigh-in and these weigh-ins have like thousands of people go to watch somebody step on a scale.
I know. I see like the arenas are filled when it's crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's insane. I had no idea the weigh-ins were that big of a deal. I mean, I've seen them played on ESPN. Every weigh-in for a UFC fight has some sort of a fight or somebody's throwing something at another guy.
They make a show out of it.
It's become a show. And how much of that is publicity? I think a lot of it is just there is a lot of adrenaline going on because the night before those fights, I can't imagine what those guys go through. But in that doc, that notorious documentary, it's interesting that you get to see him on fight days and he's very casual. He's very calm.
Yep.
Because he's put in the work, right? And I think that can relate to anyone in any field. You put in the work.
He's prepared.
He's prepared. When I ran my marathon, you know, my coach texted me the night before my marathon when I knew I wasn't going to sleep much. And he said to me, it's very simple, the hay's in the barn. The hay's in the barn. You've reaped it. You've sowed it. The hay's in the barn. Now just go out and perform. If you do that enough, you're going to be able to walk. You basically visualize it, you walk through it, and you do it. Now, he's not going to win every fight. He didn't win every fight, but he's come back stronger from his defeats and from his losses. But how calm that guy is leading into it, I can't even imagine what it takes to go into a situation like that.
Did I hear it right that he's the only UFC fighter to hold two belts at the same time in two different weight classes?
I'm not sure about that, but I do know that he does go weights. He's done flyweight, he's done welterweight, he's done lightweight. I mean, he bounces up and that is not easy. Like you need to add 20 pounds. You need to lose 7-8 pounds. Like right. These guys, it's not healthy. It can't be healthy the way they emaciate themselves.
And there's not an ounce of fat on the guy.
He is
building and losing muscle.
He is.
At that kind of weight.
It's amazing. The man's body is something to behold. Like there is not a shred of body fat on that guy's body. It's crazy. And all of those guys are like that for the most part. You want to talk about athletes. Those UFC guys are athletes to the core. I mean, just watching them train in various martial arts and various wrestling tactics and jiu-jitsu and all these other things, it's really amazing to see what they do. It's more than just punching another guy in the nose or breaking some guy's jaw.
Right.
Like these guys, there's all sorts of ways that these guys can win their match. And that's what it boils down to. But it's really cool to see how you relate this to, you know, business world or mindset, because it really is a mindset, right? I mean, you have to go into it a certain way, expecting good things to happen to you. And we're not talking about getting in an octagon here, but if we're talking about the octagon of life, what problem are you facing right now that you're struggling with that needs your attention? Because if you work the problem and you put in the work, you're going to figure it out.
Right.
He doesn't get outworked. I think that's the one thing that I love about athletes in general. They're going to outwork you. I was having a conversation the other day with Steph, like, you know, if you put in the time and the effort and you build that muscle, you're going to get better no matter what.
Totally.
If I would have put in more work around mindset and growing businesses when I was 18 and not waiting until I was 38, that's 20 years of time where I could have been honing my skills,
exactly.
Right? I think a lot of people sometimes sit there and think that these athletes are entitled. They didn't work to get there. They just were born with it. I mean, there are people that are born with natural ability. I get that. But there's also people that are born.
So I have to cultivate it.
Yeah, you have to cultivate it. And it has to be done in the right environment. And we've talked about this on our Transformation Facebook group. We've talked about this for year after year. It's an inside job. You got to put in the work. And I think Conor McGregor has proven that he's put in the work.
it was interesting. Joe Rogan was saying that if he really does move up to this 170 weight class, which is what he fought at this last fight, that the guys that he needs to fight at 170 are true. Like, the way he said it, it made me think that Cowboy really wasn't like considered a 170 fighter. I think he was talking about shorter, stockier guys at 170, and he said that he would think that he wonders if Connor can actually hold that and really fight and perform at that weight, you know, which I thought was interesting because he also said that he thought that if this fight went on, the Cowboy would get him at the end.
Well, and you're gonna see that. I think that's one of the knocks on him is that he comes out with a flourish and he expects to knock you out early. And the longer that fight goes on, the more trouble he gets into, because even though he puts in the work, his stamina is not what other fighters are. I was watching him fight Nate Diaz the first time around, and it didn't look like it was going to go very long. And Nate Diaz weathered the storm, and his face, I mean, you wouldn't think he won the fight.
Right.
Like, to look at the guy's face.
He was a hamburger.
But I mean, he ended up weathering the storm and outlasting him, and it was crazy to see. And that's the kind of stuff where people are like, oh my God, like Steph refuses to have it on. Like, I don't turn it on at the house at all, because she'll just immediately leave. So I've learned to kind of like dole that out and not show it. But it's one of those things where if you strip all that down and just look at the people that are doing this and the amount of time and effort, there's no overnight successes in this situation, and he is a testament to that. It's really quite amazing.
Yeah, it is. So let me ask you this: how much of this whole psychological advantage over your opponent, how important is that from what you know?
Here's the thing. Like, I played at, high school sports. I didn't do anything in college, so I'm probably not the answer here. But I will say this. If you can get inside of a person's head and get them thinking about what you're doing, you've already won. Like, you need to be so focused on your game plan and focused on what it is that you're doing. This is where that outside noise influence comes from. This is where I like bring it back into the business world. Like, if you are one of those people that pays attention to everybody else around you but doesn't pay attention to yourself, you've lost. You might as well go get a job. Yeah. Like, you might as well go somewhere else and start over, because the truth of the matter is that it's an inside job, and you have to focus on you. You do you. Now, when sports, a big advantage, and people that are the most triggering are the people that are constantly in other people's ears and are constantly jawing. They're doing that not only to get inside that person's head, but it gives them an edge. It gets them playing with the edge. That's why it drives me crazy. Like, the underdog, right? Like, everybody will try to find that chip that they can carry on their shoulder, and they may eventually make it to the pinnacle of their sport and they'll make it to the Hall of Fame, but they will always talk about how there was this many people drafted ahead of them. Like Michael Jordan, even the greatest basketball player of all time, he wasn't drafted first overall, right?
Right.
So there was somebody who was taken ahead of him, and it drove him to greatness, because you can always look and say, that guy was taken ahead of me, and you carry that chip even if you are the best. So everybody's looking for an edge. So is it warranted? Absolutely, because I think some people need that to get there, and people do it in business too. They carry.
Well, Trump did it to win the presidency.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He got it in everybody's head.
Yes,
he fucking would label someone and then drive that nail all the way home, and and they crumbled.
Leave no prisoners.
Yeah,
you have to be. It's going to be very interesting as this year progresses, because we are in an election cycle. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out as the year goes on, because it's going to get dirty, and you had better have thick skin if you're going to go up against him. I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm going to stay neutral here, but I will tell you what he does is fascinating, because as when he triggers you, when our president triggers you, stop for a moment and think about why that is. Why is that so triggering?
Exactly.
And you can't just say, oh, it's just because he's an asshole. No. What is it about you that you're not able to see? Or what is it that you wish you had that he has, right?
Right.
Like, what is that bravado? I keep saying the word bravado. What is that, like, bravado that he brings to the stage?
It's an unshakable self-confidence.
And that's what it is. And people are scared to death of self-confidence.
Yeah.
And I, too, that's why when I see somebody jawing on a football field or on a basketball basketball court, or even Conor McGregor early in his career being, you know, like wearing feather boas and walking around like he's the shit. Why is that triggering to me? Because I don't have the self-confidence inside of myself to be able to go out and do that. I think he's confident, and he's confident in himself. He's confident in his ability. And if he goes about his business the right way, there's nothing that can stop him.
Being that these guys are in professional sports, how come we don't see more of that?
More like of the...
of like a Conor or an Ali, people that take it to a real art form.
You know, that's a good question. I think a lot of it boils down to, you know, you get fat and happy. You get high off your own supply. Like these, most of these guys come from nothing. And this is, again, I'm not a professional athlete, but a lot of these guys come from nothing and they have nothing and they've gone their whole life, you know, really working towards making it. And once they make it, that's enough for them. The true greats, I believe, are the people that transcend that. And not only it's not good enough for them, but they're not going to stop until they become the best of the best. Does everybody get there? No. There's not enough room on that pedestal for everybody to be considered the greatest of all time.
Right.
But everybody who makes it into the Hall of Fame, for example, they have done something that no one else had done. They have done, they put in the time, they put in the effort. They didn't get to a place where they're like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to do that extra mile today, or I'm not going to do those extra pull-ups today, or I'm not going to lift after I've just gone through a 3-hour practice today. Those are the people, like, I am convinced that you can outwork people. Whether you're in totally. Sports, whether you're in business, you can outwork people and you can hustle, you know, like Gary Vee always talks about. You can work hard on your craft all the time, which explains why you don't sit around on a Sunday watching football like most people. Right. You're studying people. You're looking at trends. You're looking at way things grow in business. That's the difference between, that's what separates you from other people. And I think that with the entitlement piece, I think a lot of people, they get to a place where they're comfortable and that's where they flatline. And their comfortable is still leaps and bounds ahead of where I ended up my sports career.
Yeah.
But it's not going to take them to the next level. You hear people talk about the next level a lot. That's what they mean by that.
Well, you know, one of the things that we always hear, people are always saying, when can I stop? You know, when do I get off the roller coaster or whatever? And it's like, you know, they're not going to make it because they're just looking for what, you know, when do I stop striving? When do I stop working and take some time off? If that's the mindset that you're coming in with, you better go find a job because right. you're just not cut out to, I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, something inside of you wants to win. Even if it's your own personal life, you want to win. You want to do great, you know?
There is no end. If you go into anything with the end destination in mind, you're going to fail.
Right.
You're going to fail because, I mean, it's good to have a plan. It's good to have a goal and you're shooting for it. But that goal, it's sort of like the dangling carrot on the end of the stick that keeps the mule moving forward, right? You want it just far enough in front of you that you don't get it because oftentimes, and I've seen this happen even with me, when I get to a goal, I just start immediately pulling back and I regress actually further back from where I wanted the goal to be. Like, oh, this mythical goal that I put in front of me. Oh, I made it. Now what? That's why when I ran my first half marathon, I'm like, okay, well, what's next? Let's run a full marathon.
Right.
Okay, now that I've done that, okay, let's run every day. Okay, what's the next thing? Constantly motivating yourself and pushing yourself and realizing, and this is a tough pill to swallow, you're always going to be on this journey from now until the end.
And at some point, well, with sports, it's different being an entrepreneur because the day's going to come where they can't do it anymore. They physically don't have the chops to do it anymore.
Which is why you see Conor McGregor pitching his whiskey. Like he's not going to be playing forever.
Right.
Like, you know, you see like our local, you know, quarterback Cam Newton here in the Charlotte area. Like he's got multiple businesses. These guys have multiple businesses because the average shelf life of an NFL player is 3 years. Not everybody gets to the heights and
the
makes
average
those
is 3 years.
3 years. 3 years. So you've got 3 years.
Well, they say NFL not for long, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You've got 3 years to make your money and to get in there. And the rookie contracts, they might make $500,000 a year for 3 years. That's $1.5 million. Sounds great, doesn't it? Okay, you've just worked 3 years and now your body's shot and you can't do it anymore. Have a backup plan, right? And that's why I think it's really cool that they do these NFL rookie symposiums where they bring in business people to talk to these young men who are now into some money and how to diversify their portfolios. So when the time comes that they have to give up the sport that they've been playing for 15 years, now they're able to do something else. So that's why you see them getting into the liquor game or the car dealership game or the clothing lines, right?
Right.
Because they have to have something outside of it. Because Conor McGregor, 31, it sounds young, but it's not a young man's game. Neither is professional football, professional basketball. Yeah, there's anomalies. Tom Brady's in his 40s. Drew Brees is in his 40s. These guys are in their mid to late 30s. They play long, but the day-to-day grind you have to outweigh, is this something I want to continue doing, or do I want to start doing something else? You don't see many
UFC guys in their 40s.
No, you don't. I mean, I'm sure there's the occasional person that'll slip through and that'll do that, but it's the ones that are performing at the highest level are the young guys, and that's the scary part, because those young guys are as hungry as you were
right.
when you first started.
And they're so on his ass.
Exactly. So if you are wanting to stay in that type of game, any game, you've got to realize there's always somebody trying to knock you off.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, he's only got a few years left in this game, and he's going to have to hang it up or risk being seriously injured.
And if you love business, like we love business, and if you love seeing people succeed, then stories like that, where they're getting into different avenues and different, money income making streams, you've got to respect that no matter what it is.
Were you surprised to see that he turned his poor behavior around?
I actually thought he was done. Like when he was really going off the rails there, I thought that it just became a sideshow. It became like a circus. And I thought, you know what, this is the beginning of the end of the destruction. But, through it all, it's the people you surround yourself with that can help you see through some pretty dark times.
Right.
And by going through that, I think he's a much better person. Like you said, his work, like bringing in a life coach like Tony Robbins to help him leading up to this, shows his maturity and shows his growth. Now, you can go on and watch the TMZ video of him socking some guy in a pub, or you can go watch him throw, blunt objects through a glass window, and you can judge him for that. But that was a time, and that time is now gone.
Right.
He's changed that. Now, is he a perfect citizen? I don't think you can be a perfect citizen in that game. Because if you don't have some sort of an edge, you're in the wrong game. He might as well just get out now. But I'm glad he did, because now he can take that maturity and he can inspire the next round of fighters to go about their business the right way. I'm actually thrilled for the guy. And like I said, I wasn't a huge Conor McGregor fan, but after listening to your passion about him and, doing some reading and watching that documentary, it really has me thinking more about what is it that I'm not looking at in myself that he has himself.
Yeah. So. He's an incredible human being. And I'm like you, I'm really happy that he straightened things out and he wants to win in every area of his life.
Yeah.
And he's not going to destroy it, because there's nothing worse than when somebody, they achieve a really high level of success and the dark side kicks in and they end up destroying it. And then they're like the laughing stock of, because that's all people remember then.
And what have you done for me lately? It's the last thing you did. And that's the legacy. Like, it's so crazy. You could have a professional sports career of 10, 15, 20 years. And if you do one thing wrong, that's all people will remember you for. And it's really unfortunate and it's really sad, but it's the way of things. And it's just kind of how society works now. So
it is.
Yeah, I think all in all, I mean, this was a really good episode, because, you did talk about how his dark side drove him to where he was going, but it also nearly destroyed him in the process.
Right.
And he had to have people around him that were going to not be yes men, like not be the people that this is the way you should do it, but really question him. I think a lot of times with athletes, with their entourages, if you've got an individual who has heard nothing but yes their whole life, then more often than not, they're going to go off the rails. I just watched another fascinating documentary that just recently came out on Netflix about the football player Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to watch that, because there was an individual who, had he made a few other decisions, he'd probably still be playing in the NFL right now. But because he started running with the wrong crowd, he started you know, doing some things that were out of character. And then he was afraid for his life. So he brought in people in his inner circle that were kind of thug-ish.
Yeah.
It ended with him and eventually going to prison. I don't want to spoil anything there, but it's really fascinating to see that you can't have yes men always around you. You need to have someone to question. We've learned in our company that conflict breeds creativity.
Right.
And the more we can be in conflicting with one another, the more we're going to grow as a company. I think that is true in sports as well. You can't just surround yourself with yes people because you're destined for some mighty fall there. And gotcha. It's unfortunate. So, cool. Yeah, but no, this was really cool. I mean, I would encourage everybody to go back and listen to this episode.
I'm telling you what, the next time he fights, I'm going to go. And you can come or you can stay, but
I think you should.
I'm going to go.
I'll go with you.
I think we
get
all the guys together.
Here's what we'll do. We'll go to Vegas. You guys go to the fight. I'll stay up in the suite. And then when we're done, we'll go out. Cause it's just that feeling I get in my stomach. Like, okay, these guys just watched other guys beat the shit out of each other. And now they're going to take me out. And I don't have, if I get some boxing lessons, I'll go out.
Okay.
And do it.
Do it. Deal.
All right. Well, thanks for coming inside, David. This was a lot of fun.
It's been great.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.